And good morning. You're listening to 88.5 KRFY Morning Show. And I'm Susie Prez, one of the hosts of the morning show. And good morning.
And I'm Chris Bessler, the second host. Good morning, Susie.
Over there smiling at me. And we have a nice show set up for you today. We have a special guest in the studio, Tom Cooper. He's a playwright and musical director of the upcoming Clink performance musical theater production that will be at the Panada this weekend. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Susie. Good morning, Chris.
Yeah, thanks for being here, Tom.
Pleasure. Thank
and
you.
We're going to get to an interview and find out all about Clink, but let's hear the weather first. It's getting to feel like spring. It's really nice that it's light out when I come down here at 7 o'clock in the morning. Currently, on this Tuesday, February 3rd, from the National Weather Service, the temperature is 34 degrees, with light winds 6 miles per hour coming from the south-southwest. That gives us a wind chill of 29. We can handle that, can't we?
Yes.
Okay.
29 is not bad for February 3rd.
Today's forecast, cloudy with light winds 3 to 6 miles per hour, a high of 37. Tonight, cloudy with low around 30, calm winds. Tomorrow, Wednesday, 60% chance of rain or snow after 4 p.m. High tomorrow, 36 and low 31. The extended forecast Thursday and Friday, 90% chance of precipitation. They're not telling us what kind anymore. High 44 and low 33, that's down in the valley. And I know those skiers are hoping it's snow in the mountains.
Yeah, actually, they had some snow in the mountain. Here's a little bit more about what went on outdoors, what's going on outdoors. Schweitzer has had 4 inches of new snow in the last 24 hours, 6 inches in the last 48. It's actually predicted to be partly sunny today with a high of 31 degrees. They have 7 lifts going, 66 out of 91 runs are open, 31 of them are groomed. And for backcountry travelers, the Panhandle Avalanche Advisory Center says there's a moderate avalanche danger in the backcountry, so be careful if you're traveling there. Our sunrise today was at 7:12 a.m. Sunset will be at 4:48 p.m., and we're now past the winter solstice, so we're gaining daylight. Any guesses as to how much daylight we gained in the past week?
10 minutes.
Take a guess, Tom.
12 minutes.
20 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah, 20 Yay. Minutes. So it's turning up pretty fast. Actually, today is the full moon. The moonrise will be at 5:05 p.m. And as for the lake level is holding very steady at 2051.6 feet. It's at the winter pool level now.
Okay. Is anything else going on that you'd like to tell us about?
Well, there's always something going on here in Sandpoint, Idaho, our hometown. Although I'd have to say the biggest event of the last week was probably the Super Bowl.
Ooh, do we have to talk about that?
The Seahawks lost to New England 28-24, and it all came down to the last play. The Seahawks had it on the 1 yard line with 3 chances to take it in with the best running back in the business. And they decided to throw a pass that got intercepted.
Well, Pete Carroll will be thinking about that for a whole year, I'm sure.
Tom, are you a football watcher at all?
I am. I watched the game with great interest, and it was nice because I was an impartial observer this time.
Now, you weren't rooting for one team?
Rooting for one team or the other, and so it was fun to watch it on that basis.
It was really a good game.
It was
more entertaining to watch than the last several Super Bowls, that's for sure. It's just we got the wrong result. That's what happens.
That's called a game.
Yeah.
It's just a game.
Other news this week locally, the Lake Pend Oreille School District has set their upcoming supplemental school levy at $15.7 million. And that levy is coming on March 10th. That amount is actually identical to the last one they passed 2 years ago. And it will represent a decrease in the tax that property owners pay because the tax base has risen in the past couple years. And it also represents a cut in the district budgets. The district thinks they're going to have to cut about $1 million out of their budget, even if the levy passes. So that election is coming March 10th. It now accounts for about a third of the school district budget. And we are actually going to have superintendent of schools
on the 17th.
Sean Woodward is going to be in on the 17th and tell us more about the levy and its impact here. And otherwise, around town, the new Sandpoint Reader came out on Thursday with its only second edition. And it had some good stories in there. The mayor had their State of the City piece. There was a piece, of course, on the big game, as well as a pretty interesting and possibly provocative piece on trapping that raises some questions.
And just so our listeners know, the mayor, Carrie Logan, will be in the studio on the 24th of February this month to give us the word from the mayor.
Yeah.
What are we talking? Talk, mayor talk.
Mayor talk.
Something like that. Whatever we want.
Yeah, we're trying to get her in about once every quarter now to give us an update on what's going on
in
the city.
And she's bringing Kim Woodruff with her.
Yes, so we'll be talking about city recreation department things since Kim is the director of the City Rec and Parks and Rec. Hey, didn't they have a TV show about that?
Parks and Recreation, yep. It's very popular. And so we have our, is that it, Chris?
That's okay. Good enough for what's going on this week.
Okay, and let's go to our guest, Tom Cooper. You are the playwright, as I found out that I was thinking of you as the author of this musical comedy drama called Clink, but you're the playwright and musical director.
That's correct. I'm the co-writer, the co-author, the co-playwright, or whatever you want to call it, and along with my daughter, Kristen Cooper Herbie, and and the musical director, and I also sit at the keyboard during the performances. We're very excited about the Panada Theater.
And we should say your show is actually coming up this week, right? On February 6th and February 7th.
That's correct.
We're going to have three shows at the Panada on the 6th, which is Friday. It's going to be at 7:30 p.m. Then on the 7th, you have a matinee at 2 p.m. And then a third show, and your final show at 7:30 p.m.
Right.
This isn't the opening. You're based in Coeur d'Alene. Has the show been on stage?
The show has about a 2.5 year history at this point. Initially, we did some staged readings, and that progressed to full productions that included John Allred as our director. He came to one of the staged readings and was very taken by the play, and he's going to be producing and directing the show in California, in the San Francisco Bay Area, in the spring. So he continues to work with us to develop the piece and keep moving it along.
Well, let's start at the beginning. What's the origins of this whole idea that you and your daughter came up with?
Well, it stems back to a telephone call about 25 years ago that I got about 3 o'clock in the morning saying, "Dad, I'm in jail." And it was my daughter. She had been arrested for driving under the influence and needed to have me come and post bail for her. And it was such a turning point in her life. She thought it was a very significant experience, and it was. She was a pretty innocent, naive young woman at the time.
How old was she?
She was 20, I think she was 25 at the time. And she'd been trying to get pregnant for 5 years and was unsuccessful. And on one occasion, when she was certain that they had succeeded, she discovered that they were not. Consequently, her husband was out of town and she chose to drown her sorrows and ended up in the clink.
And got behind a car, driving.
Got behind a car, a very, very serious matter.
Got behind the wheel of a car.
Indeed.
Yes.
And so, and that point is taken seriously in this show. There are consequences to that. And indeed, for all four of the women in the play, there are consequences for their actions. And that's one of the things
So the play is actually set in a jail cell.
It is. Initially, it's set outside a bar. And then subsequently, the arresting officer and the exchange that takes place between the character Fifi and the officer. And then she's booked. Subsequently, she's tried, convicted. And then she ends up in a 12-by-12 cell with three other women from vastly different backgrounds than hers.
And they kind of tell their story through the play.
Well, they tell their stories. There's a great deal of hostility and friction initially, because here comes this privileged little innocent character waltzing in. I think one of the characters refers to her as Miss Cheerleader, and indeed, she looks like a cheerleader. And they had some pretty different backgrounds. So that this confrontation eventually helps to create a story with conflict and resolution as they get to know one another.
You've sort of described, can you describe the characters a little bit more? You have the arresting officer, the initial person that gets arrested.
Yes, that's right. And that's Fifi. She is the lead in the play. And the arresting officer, I should point out, Martin Sanks, he plays the role of four different men. He's also a judge, and he's also a booking officer, and he's Fifi's husband, Dan, who comes to visit her when she's in jail. So he wears many hats, literally and figuratively. There is Norma Rae Strong, who is in jail for attempting to purchase heroin from an undercover cop. She's struggling with coming out to her parents, revealing her sexuality. And there is Dina LoCocco, who is in jail for attempted murder, having found her husband with another individual. And there is Lula, who is a bipolar woman, who happens to think that she is French and speaks with a French accent. Now, all of these characters are based upon the individuals that Christy, my daughter, was in contact with during her 2 days in jail. But we, of course, are interested in entertaining people and having them enjoy themselves. And so we're elaborating. And, of course, none of them broke into song during the incarceration, but they do 18 times in our show.
Yeah, we should mention this is a musical.
This musical is a
comedy,
musical.
Yeah. Is how you're terming
yeah,
it.
Yeah, and Christy likes to call it a dramedy. It sounds a bit cliched to me, but
a drama with comedy.
A yes. drama with comedy, right?
Right.
And it's that very thing, I think, that really holds the piece together and is arresting for the audience. This tension that exists between the drama and the humor. It's like when one is starting to go a little too far, the other one balances it out. And it's wonderful in that regard. For my many, many years of writing plays with a previous collaborator, I've never seen the kind of attention or response that this piece is receiving.
We are fortunate, and eventually here we'll hear some of the music from the play, because did you write all the music?
Well, that was an interesting collaboration too with Christy, because she's got a good ear for music, but she has difficulty carrying a tune. And so during her travels as a sales rep, as she was developing the show, she would come up with a musical idea and then convey that to me, and in many cases I would elaborate upon it and hone it to where it was something that was in key. But she had some really neat ideas, some halting rhythms that I never would have conceived on my own.
So you must be a musician yourself.
I am.
What instruments do you play?
I play the piano and write for all instruments. Yeah.
Is that your profession?
I have been a composer since 1982, yes.
Okay.
Been supported by many, 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 many side jobs. But yes, I gave myself completely to it, the passion that I've had for 35 years.
Is this the first, you've mentioned you've written a number of plays as well.
Mm-hmm.
Is this the first time you've done a musical?
No, everything else has been a musical, too.
Okay.
All of my work has been musicals.
Where have your previous plays been staged? Is it chiefly Coeur d'Alene or other places?
Coeur d'Alene, Spokane, and in the case of one piece that was an opera about Lewis and Clark, that was performed in Seattle and also in Moscow at the Idaho Repertory Theater. And that was a piece that was one of those nearlies, you know, where we went to the East Coast and were collaborating with a director back there, and There was some interest in it from a number of theaters and an advocate, but it fell apart because those things do. but so I had pretty much washed my hands of the process when Christy approached me about this show. She had this idea, and was I interested? No.
Well, it sounds like Christy does have a bit of a performing bug. She must.
She does. Yes. And she was in a number of the plays that my previous partner and I wrote. And she's been in other pieces. And she was aspiring to be an actress at one point. She's an avid fan of musical theater. And one of the tunes that we might listen to today is entitled Hollywood Star.
Well, should we listen to it?
Yeah,
right now?
I think we should hear this.
Okay.
It's just a clip.
We want to remind our listeners this is 88.5 KRFY. We're here in the studio with Tom Cooper, who is the playwright and musical director of the upcoming production. It's called Clink. It will be at the Panetta Theater. We'll get into more of that. But here right now is one of the pieces of music called Hollywood Star from the production The Clink.
I could be in the wax museum, the Walk of Fame, and the Ellen Show. I will live in the Hollywood Hills, 40s mansion swimming pool. Drive my Beamer with vanity plates. I'll arrive at the studio late. Be a guest on SNL. On Jimmy Fallon, I'll make fun of myself. Hollywood, a dreamer's dream. Glamour, glitz, and paparazzi. Hollywood is calling my name. I've got to go now, I must achieve fame.
And that was Hollywood Star from the musical production play that's going to be at the Panetta. It's called The Clink. So we're here in the studio with Tom Cooper, the playwright and musical composer, author of this production. And so we're going to continue talking about it. Let's hear, what else can we talk about? Lots of things.
Well, Tom, I was under the impression that your daughter was actually acting in the play because she's the co-playwright and it's actually based on one of her experiences, but you said she's not.
No, she's not. She was involved in some of the initial staged readings that we did. But then when it came time to sing, I would sing her part because of the earlier allusion to her difficulties with carrying
a tune.
Yeah.
So the musical gene didn't quite pass on all the way. Yeah.
Well, partially, yeah.
Partially.
I think.
Well, she came up with a lot of the song ideas.
She did.
Yeah. So who are your actors?
Our actors are Fifi, the lead character, is played by Anika Bryson. Anika has an extensive background acting in Coeur d'Alene and Spokane. Norma Rae Strong is played by Faith Mitchell. Faith was a graduate of Eastern Washington University's theater arts program. And she, too, is quite experienced, beautiful voice. Dina LaCocco is played by Stacia Bruner. And I'd like to add at this point that we had a previous person playing that role who dropped out at a very inopportune time with just a few weeks to go before we were doing a performance. And so I found out about Stacia and I called her over on the west side of Washington and we had an audition over the telephone.
No kidding.
Sight unseen, you know, and so it was very interesting. And finally, Lula is played by Morgan Keller. And Morgan is returning to the stage after an absence of, I think about 5 or 6 years. And beautiful voice. All of these women work extremely well together, and their harmonies are just delightful.
So as you rattled off those character names, as the playwright, you must have a little fun coming up with Fifi, Norma Rae, Dina, and Lula. As the names of your characters.
Yeah, well, in the case of Fifi, my daughter's nickname was indeed Fifi.
Okay.
Because she resembled, according to a former neighbor of ours, a French poodle with the way that she wore a little thing on her hair, you know.
And it certainly brings that image to mind.
Yeah. And Lula, that's a fictitious name that we came up with that is a French name and is interesting. Norma Rae Strong, loosely based on one of the people that was in jail with Christy, and Dina LaCoco. The person's name was LaCoco, but it was not Dina. So, yeah, it was fun to come up with those names.
What's the age range of the four women that share this jail cell for 2 days and develop this relationship and start to share?
They are all in their 20s. So I think the youngest actress is 21, all the way up to 25, I think. And in real life, it was something along those lines as well. Although when it's staged in the future, it could go all the way up to 35 or something like that. There's a wide range of possibilities.
So as they unlock their secrets and open their hearts and discover their common bonds, what is the kind of the finale? You don't want to give away too much because we, you know, this is something people will come and enjoy and find out for themselves. But what's the crux, you might say?
Well, I think the crux of the matter is that people, when they open up to one another, they do discover that they have a lot in common, much more than they would imagine. And it's too bad that people have to get locked in a 12 by 12 cell to make that discovery, but that is indeed what happened. And so the crux of it is the conflicts that existed between them are resolved. And because Fifi's character is an optimistic individual who wants the best for everybody, she encourages the others to improve their lives, you know, to move on, to move forward. And I think sometimes individuals like that are a catalyst for change. And such was the case in our play.
It can be a significant moment in someone's life to meet that kind of individual.
It can. Character. Oh. Yeah.
You mentioned that this obviously is based on a real life incident with your daughter, that she was in the clink herself for 2 days. Is that the same time period that this the play takes on stage?
We're trying to make it present day, and so we've updated some things with one notable exception. Her husband was wearing a mullet at the time, and we and so we still
kept the mullet?
We kept the mullet,
the 80s mullet.
Yeah, the ageless mullet. Oh, did you say 80s? Or yeah. Well, there are still a lot of guys that are wearing them.
You go to Philly for sure.
Yeah. I think they're staging a comeback.
There's so many questions. Have you started to practice on the Panada stage, or do you need to?
Oh, yes, we need to, because all of our previous productions, there have been 7 full productions. They have been in black box-like facilities where there's 80 to 100 people that are seated. And those were all sold out, incidentally, as the play gained momentum. And so now we're in this big venue, and Christy wanted to explore how this piece would do in a larger format. So, yes, we started moving in yesterday. The set is put together, and I'm going to head over there after we talk and start pounding nails and so forth. And
when do the actors arrive?
The actors will begin rehearsing Thursday night. We'll have another rehearsal on Friday and midday, and then the performance Friday night.
How many times have you staged it now?
Well, 7 full productions, and after this, 10.
Okay.
Yes. And this is your first time in the Panada?
It is the first time in the Panada.
Give us your impressions. This is kind of like one of the jewels of Sandpoint, at least we think. But
absolutely. You know, I mean, I've lived in this area in Coeur d'Alene for 40 years. And initially when I came up here, I was teaching school, and it was in Sandpoint that I really wanted to relocate. But such was not the case. And so the Panada has been something that I have admired for many, many years. Never dreamed that I would be writing a piece and performing it on that stage. Mm-hmm. But it's great working with Patricia Walker White and
the Panada executive director.
Yeah, executive director of the Panada. And Dave Nygren is helping us out on lights, and he's a wonderful person too. So there's a lot of support and excitement around it. I really hope people will show up because it is a delightful evening of entertainment, thought-provoking, and meaningful stuff.
Well, I think that's the truth. You know, we don't often have the opportunity to have a class act like this, The Clink, come to the stage of the Panada. It is a musical comedy production. What are you calling it again?
Christy likes to call it a dramedy.
a dramedy with music, yes.
Well, you gave us the picture of all the characters, and Lula was one of the characters. I think it might be a good time to hear another song that you and your daughter co-wrote. It's called Lula's Flight. It's from The Clink, which will be at the Panada this weekend. We'll talk more about that when we come back from hearing this song. Lula's Flight.
Lala, mon chéri, s'il vous plaît, merci, I am Lula, lovely Lula, s'il vous plaît, merci, Lala, mon chéri, you are Fifi, fantastic Fifi.
That was one of the songs that you'll hear when you hang on. Okay, that was one of the songs you'll hear at The Clink, which is being performed at the Panada this week. I have to say, I did listen to all of the clips that you sent me, and the voices are so beautiful. They're very talented singers.
They're not only talented singers, they're wonderful actresses, too. They work extraordinarily well together. People inquire as to where did you find those women? They're really that good. They're quite amazing.
Are they local to Coeur d'Alene?
Yeah. In Spokane. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Three of them are from Spokane and three from Coeur d'Alene.
And once again, the play is coming on Friday, February 6th at 7:30 p.m., and then again on Saturday at 2 p.m. and 7:30 p.m. at the Panada.
And tickets can be purchased online at panada.org, or You can pick them up at Eichardt's Pub. Thank you very much, Eichardt's Pub, for providing that service for us. And the Ponderay Arts Council, similarly, thank you to you. Or I'm hearing most people buy their tickets at the door here in Sandpoint, so we hope you'll show up. We're delighted that we were not inundated with snow. I was fully expecting it.
Yeah. Do you think you'll get folks driving up from Coeur d'Alene or Spokane?
There are a number of people from both Spokane and Coeur d'Alene. One of the interesting phenomena that has occurred is people wanting to see it again and again and again. I know of several couples that have seen it for each of its performances and want to keep seeing it and want to follow it as it moves on to bigger venues.
I want to remind our readers that listeners that you're listening to 88.5 KRFY. This is the morning show, and we're speaking this morning with Tom Cooper, who is the playwright and musical director of The Clink. That's the play coming this weekend at the Panada. I wanted to ask Tom. Panada is a big venue, 550 seats. What are you doing to get the word out? That's got to be part of putting on the play, is getting people aware that's playing.
Thanks to KRFY, we have an opportunity to talk to listeners about it. The newspaper has been also supportive. We've done an interview with them that was in Saturday's paper. And there will be, we've purchased some advertising from another radio station in town.
Oh, it's okay to mention them. It's KPND.
KPND.
You actually have them listed as a sponsor.
Yes, they are presenting.
Yeah.
They're presenting the production. Mm-hmm. And they've been great, too. They've been extremely cooperative. My daughter and I will be having a short interview with them a little later this morning. Mm-hmm. And so posters have been put out, and Facebook has been just, you know, broadcasting the news. And we would encourage anybody who wants to find out a little bit more about it to go to Facebook, The Clink.
The Clink.
The Clink.
Okay. And how about Spokane? Are you getting any press in the Spokane? Are there more regional media?
We've had several articles or a couple of articles that appeared in the Inlander and also in the Spokesman Review.
Yeah. And someone who saw it said, "Bravo, The Clink is a masterpiece. It blew me away." That's a writer from the Coeur d'Alene Press.
Yes, and he was so prescient.
He was what?
Well, I really appreciate what he had to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good. So after your play here, actually, The Clink is going to pack up and move down south, as I understand.
Yes, it is. We're going to the San Francisco Bay Area with our director. We'll have an entirely different cast that we'll be assembling in February and then begin rehearsals in March and have an opening on April the 17th and run through, I'm sorry, April 24th, running through May 17th. And that will be a relatively small venue, too. I think it seats 120 people. But since there will be so many performances, 16 of them, I'm delighted. And it's through that kind of exposure that we're hoping to interest a larger venue to pick it up and support it and march it all the way to the Big Apple.
How did you connect with the group in California?
The director was dragged to one of the stage readings by a mutual friend. He was very reluctant to attend, but did, and he fell in love with the show and expressed a desire to direct it. And he has made immeasurable contributions to the writing and the conception of it, and we're very, very grateful for all of the talent and energy he brings to the project.
Is that John Allred?
John Allred, yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so, let's see, you have a successful run in California. Your eye would be on the Big Apple, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. How does a play progress from being a small regional production to making it all the way to Broadway?
It's tough, you know. It's just in baby steps. There's one advantage that Christy and I are enjoying or have potential to enjoy, in that ACT in Seattle was a sponsor of a work that I had written previously. And by virtue of that, they will look at the piece. And so the ability to get your foot in the door is the main thing these days. A lot of theaters will not even entertain something unless it's submitted by a literary agent. One of my tasks in California will be to lure as many potential producers as I can get to see the play and take an interest in it.
Will you be in California yourself?
I will. I'll be performing it.
Oh, okay. Okay. You'll stay on doing the music.
I will be staying on doing the music, and my dear wife, Priscilla, will be left behind, but she will be joining me on three separate occasions down there, and that will be fun.
Mm-hmm. So we're here in the studios of 88.5 KRFY for the morning show, and we have our guest, Tom Cooper. He's the musical director and the playwright, co-playwright, for the upcoming production of The Clink, which is at the Panada Theater this Friday and Saturday night, Friday night at 7:30. And on Saturday, you can see it as a matinee at 2 p.m. and in the evening at 7:30 again. It's an original jailhouse musical with four women, four stories, one cell. And you can get tickets at Eichardt's Pub, Ponderay Arts Council, or the Panada website, and at the door. So that's what's happening. And anything else you want to tell us, Tom, about this
work of art? I'd like to tell the listeners that when you listen to Hollywood Star, you should have seen Susie moving around here in the studio. She's got a good sense of rhythm.
Well, it's good music. You did a good job.
And, this is radio, so you have to visualize these things. Yes.
Don't visualize too hard. Thank you. And it's really a pleasure having you here.
Thank you.
We wish you... What do you say, Chris?
One more question.
Okay.
So what would you like the person attending the Clink this weekend to take away from it?
I'd like to take away... them to take away some deep thinking about their lives, about how fortunate we all are, about our potential for change, and our shared humanity. You know, we're all in this mess together. Let's help one another out as best we can.
Beautiful thought.
Yeah.
And all the best to you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much for coming in, Tom.
We're going to take a little musical break and hear another song from The Clink. It's called Home. And we'll be right back. Stay tuned. Don't go away. And here it is, called The Home from The Clink.
Montana.
And that is an original composition called Home that is going to be performed at The Clink, that's showing at the Panda Theater this Friday and Saturday. Friday at 7:30 p.m., Saturday at 2 p.m. and 7:30 p.m. It's an original play by Tom Cooper and Kristen Cooper Herbie. And it sounds like a great play. We've just been talking with Tom Cooper, the playwright, and it sounds like this is going to be both a comedy, a musical, and it's going to have a little drama in it, and it's got a message as well. So I hope folks are going to be interested in it.
Tickets are available at Eichardt's Pub, Ponderay Arts Council, the Panada website, and, of course, at the door. It's not often, Chris, that we have a chance to see something. It sounds like a high quality, great music, and an original play.
Yeah.
It's kind
yeah.
of a...
It's pretty nice when they visit Sandpoint. With actually, we do get a lot of really excellent entertainment live performances here in Sandpoint, in large part thanks to POAC. POAC brings in their winter series every year, as well as, of course, we have the festival in the summer. And we have some playwrights that are really... knocking it out of the park lately with some of the plays that they've been performing that are written locally. So our performing arts scene is really blossoming right now. Speaking of that, I wanted to mention that one of the biggest sellout events of the year is coming up. It's the Follies. That's put on by Angels Over Sandpoint. And their tickets have just gone on sale. And you can get them now at Eichardt's and Pedal Talk or at... Panada.org, or as well at Sandpoint Online's general store. This thing's always a sellout, and they have two shows this year. But if you're interested in going to see the Follies, I would recommend that you buy your tickets soon.
It's an adults-only entertainment venue or production presentation, and they're having something new this year. They're VIP tickets. There's only 50 of them. Each night, and it includes reserve seating, early entry, plus a collectible glass.
Yeah.
So those are available also.
Yes, and, so you can be up front and be really obnoxious up front and be close. Yeah. They say it's risky and racy and it is indeed. Have you been, Susie, to the Follies?
I think I went once. Do you go every year?
I don't go every year, but... Uh-huh. The folks that go have a great time. And I have to say, the times I've gone, that the writing, it's a variety show, basically. A lot of little skits and musical acts and humor. And the writing's been pretty hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it always sells out.
And it is a fundraiser for Angels Over Sandpoint.
It's the biggest fundraiser of the year. So your ticket price is going to a really great cause.
And they do so many things here in town. Do you know some of the things that they support, Angels?
Well, they have a backpack program. This is their big thing. And they're helping kids get ready for school, disadvantaged kids, making sure that they have the proper supplies to go to school. But they have a lot of other charitable endeavors as well.
That's wonderful. Other things going on. What else is going on, Chris? So those tickets went on sale yesterday, and as you said, they sell out. Hey, there's a phone number you can call, too. It's 290-5895 for those ticket information.
Yeah, but I would suggest going online or going to grab one at either Eichardt's or Pedal Talk. Other things going on in town? Well, tonight's trivia night at McDuff's. It happens every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. This is at McDuff's on 1st Avenue, 312 1st Avenues. Go early if you're going because the tables fill up fast. Also, it's First Tuesday with Jake Robin at Eichardt's Pub. This is live music. And Eichardt's is at 212 Cedar Street. That starts at 7 p.m.
It's also today, Senior Day at the Bonner Mall in Ponderay. They do this once a month. Get together. It starts at 9 a.m. until noon. It includes walking the mall, plus speakers, games, prizes, and refreshments. It's held on the first Tuesday of every month. So that's today. It's open to the public.
It is. It is Seniors Day. So I presume you must be a senior. And I wonder, what
constitutes that?
What constitutes a senior in this day and age?
Someone that isn't working in the middle of the day and can go down there and is elderly. I don't know. Let's see, Wednesday, the KPND ski and board party will be at the AMP Bar and Grill. That's at 222 North 1st Avenue. That starts at 5:30, and they'll have prizes, food, drinks, specials. Then you can call 263-2313 for more information.
And of course, AMP's actually had a big fire and has been totally rebuilt inside. So this would be a good opportunity for people to check out AMP's.
I remember that fire.
Yeah.
And at McDuff's tonight, or Wednesday night, that was okay. Wednesday night, the bingo night at McDuff's Brewing. That's at their beer hall on Cedar Street. You can go down there at 6:15 and see what's going on with bingo.
Yeah, speaking of beer, Thursday is a beer release party, also at McDuff's, at their beer hall at 220 Cedar Street. And this is a new release. We don't have the name of this particular release, but they do have a new release every first Thursday of the month. It's at 6 p.m. Chance to taste a locally brewed new release right here in town.
So they must be making a lot of beer if every month they have a new beer.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, they do have, they have seasonal brews.
Oh, mm-hmm. Okay. Let's take a little break from the events entertainment calendar and talk about what happened on this day in history, in music history. It was 1959. Do you have any idea?
I do, thanks to your heads up before the show. This is the day that Buddy Holly died.
It's the day the music died. Mm-hmm. As Don McLean said in American Pie, the song, within minutes of takeoff from the Mason City, Iowa airport in 1959, around 1 a.m., Buddy Holly chartered a plane to bring them to Wisconsin for a winter dance party that was going to happen in Fargo, North Dakota, actually. And on that plane was Buddy Holly, Ritchie Valens, and the Big Bopper. Interestingly enough, there's some trivia involved in here. They had just released the song that we'll be hearing in a few minutes, and it became the number one hit, and it was called That'll Be the Day. That was a Buddy Holly song. His first number one hit had just come out. Do you know how old he was when he died?
No, he was young.
He was very young, 22 years old.
Wow.
Already a rock and roll star. And
made a big footprint on the whole industry, I think.
Mm-hmm. There were a couple of people that didn't get on that plane, took a freezing bus to the music venue instead. One was Waylon Jennings, who became a famous country western star, and another one was Tommy Alsup, which I don't know what happened to him, but...
Did they just miss the plane?
Well, there was only enough room for three people.
Oh, I see.
And
oh,
they actually probably flipped a coin,
no
and
kidding.
Yeah.
So I guess Waylon Jennings actually won the flip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, in reality, he thought he lost, but he won.
He won,
yeah.
Yes.
And actually, it was Ritchie Valens that got on the plane. Mm-hmm. So anyways, let's hear a song by Buddy Holly. It was a number one hit on this day. It became a number one hit at this time in 1959, the day that his plane crashed and he was no longer here. This is called That'll Be the Day by Buddy Holly. And that was Buddy Holly, That'll Be the Day. And we're here in the studios of KRFY 88.5 for the KRFY Morning Show, Chris and Susie.
Yes, we are right here. So let's dive back into some of the things that are going on this weekend. On Friday, there's going to be live music at the Idaho Poor Authority with Marty Perrin and Doug Bond. That's at 6 p.m. And Idaho Poor Authority is at 203 Cedar Street. That's going to run from 5 to 7 p.m. So basically, it's a happy hour with live music. Also on Friday, there will be a multimedia art show opening and reception by the Ponderay Arts Council at their gallery, which is at 302 North 1st Avenue, and that's from 5:30 to 7 p.m. This show is featuring works by new POAC artists. So it's a chance to see some of the new up-and-coming artists in town. That's, again, from 5:30 to 7 p.m. at the POAC Gallery, 302 North 1st Avenue.
Here's one that sounds interesting. They all do, but Birds of Prey Presentation. The Kinnicksu Land Trust sponsors an evening Birds of Prey presentation featuring wildlife educator Beth
Parmigamium.
Thank you.
Yes.
And several of her feathered friends. It sounds like she's bringing birds in.
Yes, they'll be live birds. Actually, kind of featuring, I believe, owls, the nocturnal raptors.
Mm-hmm. We love the owls. I don't know why, but they're just so special. This is a great family event, and all are welcome. It's free admission, begins at 6:30 p.m. in the Bonner County Fairgrounds Wildlife Building. You can learn more at kinnicksu.org or call 263-9471.
Now, that is something I'd really like to put a shout out to, because it's happening Friday, but it's out at the fairgrounds in the wildlife building. It's kind of outside town. People might kind of miss that one, but it will really be a fascinating presentation.
Really nice, possibly to take the kids to see some of those raptors in person.
Oh, yeah. Also Friday, the Pondere Winery has live music from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m., featuring the old-time mountain music of roughshod with its Appalachian and Celtic roots. That's at the Pondere Winery, 301 First, on Friday, 5:30 to 8:30 p.m.
And speaking of music, The Bridges Home, which is a duo with Dave and Tammy Gunter, will be hosting a CD release concert. You can join the fun at Bridges Home as they celebrate the release of their new CD called Deep Roots, with a live set of new original material from the recording in the event takes place at the Heartwood Center on Church Street. Doors open. This is Friday evening at 6:30. Music starts at 7 p.m. All are invited, and you can see Dave and Tammy perform their original music. And they're having a special bass player sitting in with them, and it's Paul Gunter.
That's Dave's son.
Yeah. He's adding to the sound and the fun. That's the Bridges Home CD release concert. That's at the Heartwood Center on Church Street.
And, of course, on Friday as well, Saturday, The Clink, the live performance. It's actually a musical comedy. Will be at the Panetta Theater. That's, as we've just been talking with the playwright, Tom Cooper. It's a message of hope that is set in a jail cell. It's based on some real incidents. That's from 7:30. It's at 7:30 p.m. on Friday, and then again on Saturday at two shows at 2 p.m. and 7:30 p.m.
Let's see what's on our little list here.
Saturday.
Go ahead.
There's a Community Nature Connection Day at the Twin Eagles Wilderness School. It's a free community event from 9 a.m. to noon on Saturday. There's going to be Friday ways to connect with nature, such as mammal tracking, bird study, learning about trees and wild plants. Get more information about that at twineagles.org or call 406-595-4707. And in Hope, there's a Mardi Gras celebration. It's at the Hope Memorial Community Center from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. And admission is free for this. There's going to be live music with the Cougar Creek Band, plus chili, cornbread, snacks, beer, wine, and non-alcoholic beverages as well. That's, again, a Mardi Gras celebration in Hope.
Chris, we're about there. I want to remind our listeners that the morning show this Thursday, February 5th, you can join host Jim and Jack. Their guests will be Paul Graves from the Elder Advocates. That's at 8 a.m. on Thursday. And next week, who are we having in?
We have the Rock Creek Association with Nancy Girth and probably another of their board members.
It's actually Jean Girth.
Excuse me.
Okay.
There is a Nancy Girth.
There is
a Girth.
And Nancy can come too if she wants to. She's been here before.
Yeah.
And thanks for listening. This is 88.5 KRFY. We're going to end our morning show with another Buddy Holly song, Peggy Sue. We hope you enjoy your day, Chris.
Yes, have a beautiful day, folks.
Take care.